We will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America.
Donald Trump sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. He's having a big battle with the media, though. He said that most of the media are dishonest, and he's focusing at the moment on the amount of people who attended his inauguration. Let's have a listen to this.
As you know, I have a running war with the media. They are among the most dishonest human beings on earth.
His press secretary, Sean Spicer, said the inauguration had seen the largest audience to ever see an inauguration, even though the figures he cited add up to under 750,000 people.
Photographs of the inaugural proceedings were intentionally framed in a way, in one particular tweet, to minimize the enormous support that had gathered on the National Mall. This was the first time in our nation's history that floor coverings have been used to protect the grass in the mall. That had the effect of highlighting any areas where people were not standing, while in years past, the grass eliminated this visual. This was also the first time that fencing and magnetometers went as far back on the wall, preventing hundreds of thousands of people from being able to access the mall as quickly as they had in inaugurations past. Inaccurate numbers involving crowd size were also tweeted. No one had numbers.
So, it's quite an aggressive stance taken by the new press secretary, the commentators and broadcasters, Charlie Wolfe and George Galloway, with us this morning. Charlie, morning to you.
Good morning.
George, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a different take, a different tone from a president. Do you support it?
Oh,
you're talking to me.
George Galloway.
Of course, this nonsense, mine is bigger than yours. It's very childish, really schoolboy material. It's definitely true that there were fewer people on the mall, but it's also true that there were far more people watching on the television, more than double, I think, from the previous inauguration. But this kind of vulgar, my dad is bigger than your dad, Trump's got to stop that, it seems to me. He won already. He doesn't need to use his inauguration to make a campaign speech, unless he's already off and running for the next one. Who knows in America?
Charlie?
Well, we usually don't start that way, George. We would have started months ago. No, I think what this is a sign of, this is more or less, I think, the straw that broke the camel's back. The press have been treating him as a non-entity or illegitimate president ever since the election itself. And I think that was just a sort of a representative sign of it. Trump comes from a different world than politics. Where numbers are important, for things like ratings, as we all know, all three of us being broadcasters. And I think that's why he wanted to lay down a marker. So hopefully this will sort of smooth over, and when both sides can kind of chill out a little bit, and we can move on, and he can govern, and they can report on it.
Do you think, George Galloway, there's a longer-term tactic here, which I've seen some people write about, which could be he's trying to discredit the press to such an extent that they can't hold him to account?
I can hardly believe that you would ask me that question and give me the ball in an open field in front of me, Stephen. That just proves there's no conspiracy. The reality is that
you've had a few choice words to say about me in the past, George. But we always bring you back on.
I love you really, but the reality is most people in America, and certainly most people in most countries, believe that the mass media, the mainstream media, is way short of what people are expecting and want. There's not much they can do about that in most cases, but they certainly want to hold the BBC, for example, to a higher standard than they're currently getting. But this posture of war that Trump is on, it will ultimately be bad for him. But Charlie is right. He's not normal. He's not a normal politician. He's a circus act. He's a Barnum and Bailey. And it's worked. And that just goes to show how out of favor with the public politicians as well as the mass media are.
Exactly, and that's what that speech was about. This was a speech to its times. And just one other thing. You talked about a possible strategy. Let's not forget, over the weekend, not on Friday, we had the inauguration. On Saturday, we had this bigger audience, which was this march, which I disagree with. I didn't think it really represented anything in the stupid comments by Madonna. But what are we talking about on Monday? No one's talking about the Million Woman March or the 6 Million Woman March. We're talking about Donald Trump, just like during the campaign, even when the first Democratic primary, first debate was for the Democrats between Hillary and Bernie Sanders. Everything was framed in how will this affect Donald? So he has this ability to suck all the oxygen out of the room and stay front and center.
Do you think he cares about his relationship with the UK, George?
I think he probably does. That's one of the paradoxes of this. He probably hates everywhere and everybody else, or if not hate, view askance. But he probably likes Britain because of his background, his mother's still alive, his mother is Scottish, and she really loves the Queen, and so on. So paradoxically, yes, especially given the hatred by the SNP evinced towards him, the dislike of the British media towards him, it is quite a paradox that he probably quite loves us.
Frank's in Belfast. Morning, Frank.
Morning, Stephen. I would just like to say, I think for the first time in a long, long time, they've got a man of the people in the White House. Man who will look after the people instead of rat-breaked until he gets elected and do nothing about it. And I would also like to see Mr. Trump get in his own paper and go after the press, these people who write about him and tell all the dirty secrets and joke and cajole him. I would love him just to go, because I'm sure there's a lot of press and media out there who have got guilty secrets that they don't want to put on, because the press have been hounding him since he got in, and they're not even giving him a chance. It's for the first couple of days in office, and they're still hounding him. They give him the honeymoon period to everyone else, but they don't know, because he's not off them. He's a man of the people, for the people, and he'll work for the people. But you see that the ones that went before, they talked a lot of bull, and once they got in, they forgot about the people. Let Donald get a chance. And for George Galloway and the rest of those boys out there who like him or dislike him, all I have to say to them is give the man a chance, because I think he'll be a great president.
Well, George Galloway, you're going to be on distant shores, aren't you? Because you promised on your radio show, quote, I'll move to New Zealand if Donald Trump's elected president.
Like, they wouldn't even kick him on Mars or the moon. He wouldn't get in there. He wouldn't get a visa.
George Galloway, are you going to New Zealand?
No, I'm not.
You're not going to Welsh on a guarantee you gave humanity, George, are you?
I think we no longer use that phrase.
Even
if you check the
something about George.
Hold on. No, let's let George reply. Hold on, George. Are you going to New Zealand?
I'm not going to New Zealand. And moreover, also on my radio show, I predicted Trump's victory, and I predicted it because I understand the forces that produced it, as I predicted the Brexit victory for the same set of reasons and forces. People are sick and tired of the political class.
Yeah.
And when a populist comes along with the ability to shout loud, even if it's not particularly poetic, as is the case with Donald Trump, they are ready to give him a chance, as your caller said.
Yeah, I think George
he's the richest man of the people I've ever heard of, a multi-billionaire man of the people. Sounds a bit unlikely to me. He's more the Barnum and Bailey snake oil salesman that we used to be familiar with in the old cowboy pictures in the 1950s and 60s.
But he also understands, I think George and I, and I know we've spoken about this over the weeks and going well back to the beginning of the campaign, and I remember you surprising me, George, when you said, I think it was down to just him and Hillary, and I hope I'm not going to embarrass you when I say this. You know, he said, we were walking across the street from a recording session. He says, I hope Trump wins, and I about fell on the floor, and he said, well, rather him than Hillary. But I think it's true. The elites and the press and the academia and the politicians did not understand the people. The people are mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. And Trump saw that, and the same with Brexit. And until they understand that, then they're not going to have the power. And he does understand what the people want, and I think he's going to do his darndest to deliver on it.
We're going to leave it there. Mr. Galloway, always nice to talk to you. Thank you very much. Charles Wolfe, thank you, sir. Morning to you both. Alex and Lisburn on this, actually, before we move on. Morning, Alex.
Morning. No, I was watching the Trump's inauguration, and I could see my own eyes. The crowd wasn't acting like as big as Obama's. But I find it quite scary when a White House spokesman stands up and you basically, as another spokesman said, gives alternative facts. And it's like something you expect to see in North Korea or in Putin's Russia. I find it quite scary that an American press... You should be, when an American press officer stands there at that podium, you should be able to trust what they say. But a bit of spin.
Well, the media...
You should trust the facts.
The media is going to have a very, very important role to play in a lot of different places around the world, isn't it? When governments say something, the media checking the facts.
Well, the ones that are untrue, what the guy was saying about the numbers, you can see it with your own eyes. But I think if Trump's got a situation now where his supporters simply don't believe what they're told by the press. So Trump, it doesn't matter if Trump can't deliver on his promises. It's not my fault, folks. It's somebody else's fault. And they'll believe that. And that's the danger. But I like the reference to he's a man of the people. If Trump fails, it's the people at the bottom who will suffer. And if Brexit fails, it's the people at the bottom who will suffer. Always the same way. You know, this man of the people lent a million, was it $1 billion by his father to invest, born with a silver spoon. A man of the people lives in the penthouse in Trump Tower. It's laughable.
Alex, thank you. Morning to you.